You're listening to the Guided Collective podcast, a place for you to reconnect with your inner and higher guidance to navigate your path and purpose. I'm your host, Helen Jacobs, an author, speaker, mentor, and energy forecaster who moved out of a job in public relations into a whole new life, one intuitive nudge at a time. And I believe you can follow your intuition and change your life too. If you've tuned into today's episode because the title caught your attention, wonderful. Yes, we are going to explore the concept of the inner child today. But before we get into it, I did want to make a note, or for you to make a note, that you may also want to go back to last week's episode. You can do that after this one, because that episode includes even more information and insight on the inner child. And if you are finding this episode in real time, that is, as it originally goes to air, it is timely. Because last week's episode, I shared my energy forecast and my predictions for June of 2024. And it is all about the inner child and how we can maximize this theme. But look, even if you have found this episode at some other future date, please know that if you need this message and you have intuitively been guided to it, you will want today's episode as well as last week's episode. So, with that out of the way, let's spend some time really exploring what I mean by the inner child, but certainly how you can work with it. And so the energy forecast episode does touch on some supports, but we're going to talk about a few more today, or at least spend a little bit more time on them. And so we can work with our inner child, not just for healing, but when we connect with the inner child in a certain way, it can also provide us with a lot of intuitive data or guidance. So let's start this episode and discussion by considering what I mean when I use the term inner child. Bearing in mind, I am not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist, and so in some circles, this term could have a different connotation or additional meanings. So when I use the term inner child, I don't necessarily mean the memory of yourself as a child, nor do I mean to recall or to remember aspects of your childhood. So, of course, as a practice itself, that can be incredibly useful. But it's not necessarily what I mean by the term inner child. Instead, I am referring to your spiritual or energetic inner child. So I'm really thinking of your inner child as a spiritual aspect of yourself. It is a non-physical part of your being that has remained childlike. And so you could visually imagine or clairvoyantly picture a miniature version of yourself that resides in your spiritual heart. So in this way, your inner child, this spiritual aspect of yourself, has retained a sense of childlike wonder and joy and curiosity and excitement and innocence and enchantment and play that perhaps your human or adult self, your physical human adult self, has ignored or even silenced. So if you were to think about yourself as a child, there would certainly be, hopefully, a memory or many memories of yourself in that sort of wondrous, joyous, curious, enchanted sense of exploration for the world. Unfortunately, children, real life, human, tangible, physical children, also tend to get that knocked out of them pretty quickly, whether it's intentional or not. So this inner child hasn't had that sense of wonder and joy and curiosity, etc., dampened or ignored or silenced. Now, just like any other child, your inner child, this spiritual aspect of yourself, also needs and requires a balance of work, rest, and play. And just like any other physical child, your inner child or spiritual inner child shouldn't be burdened with carrying the weight of the world on their shoulders. From the perspective of our spirit guides and angels, even our higher self, which is a kind of similar concept, not the same, but similar. From the perspective of those beings, we are still children of the universe. Despite our human perception or physical age of adulthood. And so from that perspective, from the perspective of our spiritual support team, they see us as still learning and growing and exploring here on the earthly plane. So I guess another way of thinking about this is that on Earth, in human form, we may have matured physically, or perhaps even emotionally or mentally or whatever other way, but we may have aged. But from the perspective of these higher beings, Earth is still perhaps the equivalent of, I don't know, whether we're kindergarten or grade four or middle school, or I don't know what the equivalent is, but spirit, even as I'm saying this, spirit is essentially saying we're early in our journey. And even if our soul is a little later in that journey, there's often so much of that that we have intellectually or cognitively forgotten in this earth plane. So again, spirit then says, well, that's kind of like having graduated and moved through, you know, secondary education and tertiary education. I don't know, maybe you've ended up with a master's and then you kind of wake up one day and forget you have all of that knowledge and have ended up back in grade one. This is the human experience. So with that sort of concept in mind, let's consider why we should or why we might need to connect with our inner child. So look, as I said before, in the psychology world, there is a concept of inner child therapy. I am not pretending to be anywhere near an expert or even, I would say I am interested in the concept. And so in psychology, this idea of inner child therapy is essentially a way of accessing perhaps emotional blocks. And so I do want to give a word of caution here. If you are intending to connect with real memories and recall actual events, emotions, and experiences from your childhood in this lifetime, it would be quite wise to do so with a therapist or a healer, And depending on what it is that you may need to explore, of course, because unfortunately, not every child or every childhood is happy, or at least not every memory or experience has been. So I do say this with a word of caution to take that into consideration. So I'm mentioning this at the outset because it is important to know who you are and what you're dealing with, or what may come up as you're working with your inner child. Even if you're accessing this spiritual inner child, there is a good chance that even at that level, it is going to eventually, hopefully, ease you into whatever human level healing is required. So this kind of inner child psychology is very useful for accessing, yes, those emotional blocks and possibly even blocks in thinking and beliefs and limitations that have stemmed from our childhood. But I also want us to think about our spiritual bodies too. And so in this way, we can work with the spiritual or the energetic aspect of our inner child. It also means that we could even broaden this concept to think about not just our spirit, but our soul. And I do have an episode where I talk about the difference. And so I'll add a link in the show notes so that you can explore that. But for our soul that has incarnated time and time again, our soul could be quite mature or old. That phrase old soul is familiar. And so we could actually access that knowledge in a similar way. Okay, so I also mentioned before that from the perspective of our spiritual support team, we are seen as children. And so if we can gain that perspective, if we can see ourselves from the perspective of our higher self or our spirit guides and angels, we can actually start to alleviate the pressures that our human self or our mind or the constructs of age and adulthood may be placing on ourselves. And we can start to see the areas where we can restore ourselves and return to our own sense of wonder and curiosity in our lives. When we connect with our inner child, they can actually guide us. They are a non-physical aspect of ourselves that can guide us towards healing. Of course, they can reveal to us certain parts of ourselves that need attention or addressing or rethinking and rewiring. Now, of course, this may end up being linked to our childhood, but it can also simply be about accessing a childlike perspective of what we need to learn or to hear or to understand from our adult form. So if we are working at the level of our energy with our spiritual support team and with the aspect of ourselves that has remained childlike, even if our human self has ignored it, much like our human self may ignore our intuition, then we can still learn a great deal about ourselves and, as long as it's appropriate, on our own. So, how do you work with the inner child in this way? So, remembering that my explanation of inner child is about accessing this spiritual aspect of yourself, you can connect with your inner child just as you would connect with a spirit guide or your higher self. You can connect with the energy of this non-physical being, this childlike aspect of yourself in exactly the same way, the same tools, the same modalities that you've heard me, if you've been around for some time, that you've heard me say over and over and over again. You can connect with your inner child, therefore, through meditation and journaling, and perhaps even through oracle cards. So you could work with the same spiritual self-care rituals, or more specifically what I call the guidance practice, and simply hold the intention that your inner child steps forward and that they can bring with them the guidance that you need to hear from them. And so if you've done any of my programs before, or you've turned up to a live event where we call in our spirit guides, or even if you've worked with my Meet Your Spirit Guide meditation or Meet Your Higher Self meditation, you may not realize I'm doing this, but we hold the intention and we invite the aspect, the non-physical being that we desire to work with, to come forward. And so this is exactly what you would do with your inner child. So your spiritual support team, this team of non-physical guiding beings like your spirit guides and angels and higher self and soul, they do see you as a child. They actually don't care how old you are. They don't care what degree you have or don't have, or the level of education that you have reached. They aren't really caring about your job or responsibilities. They certainly care about your lessons and your growth and your development, but they don't have the same expectations or measuring tools that we seem to have as adults, or as I've often described it before, that our head would be holding for us. So because our spiritual support team sees us as children of the universe, you can actually rely on them to help bring this sense of childlike understanding or messaging to you if you are having trouble connecting with the aspect of yourself as an inner child. So don't get too bogged down in, I must connect with my inner child. I do have some tips on how to do that, but I'm just prefacing them by saying, if you struggle, don't worry, come back to your spiritual support team and ask them to help you see yourself, even at the age you are right now, as a child of the universe where you're still learning and growing and evolving. So let me run through some of these tools for connecting with your inner child. I've already given you a little bit of a heads up here, but we'll start with journaling. So I have often, actually quite repeatedly, said that journaling for me was really the best thing that I did to develop my intuition and to access these different aspects of myself. And so I always recommend it. I know not everyone, thinks of journaling as their favorite thing. That's cool. I've got some other ideas for you too. But if you fall in this camp, then you could write a letter to yourself from the perspective of your inner child. You could use automatic writing, which is actually a form of written channeling. And I'll add links in the show notes because I have written about that and possibly even shared it on the podcast before. But you can use automatic writing and simply ask your inner child to step forward so that it is their message that you're channeling through your written word. I do just want to draw your attention to the fact that automatic writing is channeled. And perhaps this needs to be an episode itself. To be channeled, there is no interpretation or human interference. It is verbatim. So that's another tool that you could try. Something that I love doing is called future scripting. And so you would script a future state, but with your inner child in mind. And so this means that you cast your awareness to this future state, but you also want to be able to tune into your inner child in that future state and then have, you know, yourself write about what it's like at that point. And in this instance, specifically from the perspective of your inner child. And I love future scripting so much that I actually included a template for this in my Head and Heart digital planner and journal. So if journaling is not your thing, you can use meditation. So I have often drawn the distinction between a formal practice of meditation, so say transcendental meditation, versus the idea of working with guided meditation or guided visualization with a specific goal in mind. But whatever formal practice of meditation you may currently be using, don't interfere with it, don't change it. Just simply hold the intention before your setting or when you sit down to do the meditation. Just hold the intention that your inner child will bring you the messages that you need during your practice. A lot of those practices themselves are about non-attachment, so you kind of have to allow that message to come and go without running with it, but it's certainly one way that you can receive that guidance. I did mention guided meditations, and so of course I do have my own Meet Your Inner Child meditation, and it is designed to specifically guide you into that energetic realm and to connect with this spiritual aspect of yourselves, and to meet with them and to connect with them. But you could also use some of the other meditations that I have or that you've got access to, specifically to work with your spiritual support team. And it's certainly something that we spend a lot more time on in my Living Intuitively program, for example, where we really start to understand some of what our inner child is telling us and showing us and how we can act on it. So if journaling and meditation aren't your thing, honestly, I'd begin to wonder why you're listening, but everyone is welcome. And perhaps oracle cards your thing. And so these are another way. So whether it's, you know, my Little Sage oracle cards, or there's another deck that you prefer, I suspect I'm not, you know, I don't really work with tarot, but you probably could use tarot to ask questions about your inner child. But look, any of these sort of cards, or any divination tool for that matter, can be applied in a way where you ask for specific guidance from your inner child. This is really more about the intention in your ask. And if you're new here, asking is an important step in receiving guidance. It's part of what I call the ARIA method. So you have to ask for, receive, interpret, then act on guidance. And look, I may also add a note in the show notes for some materials if you're interested in learning more about that. So in just the same way that you would work with your oracle cards to ask any other kind of question, you would hold the intention that your inner child is going to work with you through the cards to help you pull the cards that your inner child wants you to receive. But if you do end up working with my deck, the Little Sage Oracle cards, there is actually an inner child card included. And so in this way, I think other decks include an inner child too. But even if you aren't asking specifically for your inner child to guide your oracle card spread, if you get this card, pay attention, your inner child has a specific message for you. And actually, the inner child card in my deck has several hidden meanings, which I teach in Mastery of the Oracle course. So look, these are just a few ideas to get you started. You can work with an energy practitioner. As I said, it may be more appropriate that you work with a therapist. But if you are willing and able to do some self-guided or even preliminary work before you get or need a therapist, these are some great ways to start. So here is a final note on the guidance from your inner child. So knowing now that your inner child is just like any other child, I guess minus the physicality, they are curious and innocent and particularly insightful. But they may not be so concerned with the human realities or intricacies or things that your adult self or your adult mind is concerned with. But please don't dismiss what they have to say. Like any other member of your spiritual support team, you can take their advice on board, so you can take on the advice of your inner child, but you may still run it through your own intuition and perhaps even logic where required. I know if I was to ask my inner child how it wants to spend its days, I would be curled up on a couch reading my favorite books. I'd be writing. And certainly I have taken that into consideration and it makes up a good portion of my day. But my human self also has a say. And so I can't spend 24 hours a day or even all my waking hours reading, despite my inner child's insistence. And so there is an element of logic to this. So I hope that this episode has been useful. There's lots of ideas here to get you started. And I would say to you, if you were brand new in connecting, certainly to your inner child, but even more than that, to your intuition, download my free resource, 10 Tips to Build Your Intuition in Just 10 Minutes a Day. Some of them will talk about connecting with your inner child, but there's also tips in there specifically for oracle cards and journaling and meditation, but there are 10 tips and so there's more in there. And it may be a useful resource for you too. Hey, you've made it to the end of another episode, but maybe you still want more? Hit subscribe on your podcast app so you never miss an episode, or sign up at helenjacobs.co for my free weekly energy forecasts so they land in your inbox every Monday morning.